Boy needs a three to tie it, force overtime. They lob it into Meyer. Meyer dribbles up the near side. 3 seconds. Skips it across to Schroeder. She catches, shoots the three. Good! Breezy Schroeder switches the three. We're going to overtime.
What a play by the Bullet Lady Trojans last night to force overtime in the first round of the Sterling Invitational against Hugoton. Down three with 5.5 to go. Had to go the length of the floor. Hugoton calls a timeout. Beloit draws up the play. A well-designed play by Coach Remus, and the players executed it. Barrett to Meyer, cross-court pass, which almost got picked off. I thought from where I was sitting it was going to be deflected or stolen. Somehow got over the outstretched hand of a defender, and Breezy Schroeder just caught it and shot it all in one fluid, smooth motion, and it was nothing but nylon. And you thought Beloit would probably go on to win with that momentum going in overtime, but Hugoton, to their credit, bounced back, scored the first four of overtime. But then Beloit would retake the lead on a three by Breezy Schroeder at 66-65. And then the least likely person in the entire gym, other than maybe me, to shoot a three-pointer was a girl coming off the bench for Hugoton who didn't play hardly at all in the game, who had to come in because of a player fouling out. And she hadn't attempted a three all game long, and she banked in a three straight away that gave Hugoton a lead, 68-66, with a minute 12 to go there in overtime. Beloit would come back, cut it to one, and then forced a turnover and had a look at the end, but it wouldn't go. And Beloit falls by one in overtime, 69-68. But Beloit played, I thought they played very well, a lot better in the second half than they did there in the last part of the second quarter. And the fourth quarter in overtime was, I thought, really good basketball from both Hugoton and Beloit, both teams making some big-time plays. And some players with career highs. Breezy Schroeder tying a career high with 13. Sydney Barrett had 16. Shea Larson with a career high 22. And Hugoton had a girl with 25 who had missed. She was one of seven from the line, but she hit her last four free throws when she really needed to. And before she fouled out, she was a force inside. And it was really a fun girls basketball game to do on the radio. I haven't had that. I don't know. Last year's sub-state semifinal was pretty good between Russell and Beloit. That was a really good one. But that was a good one for a first-round game. It felt like more of a semi or a championship game at the Sterling Invitational. But Beloit does fall 69-68 in overtime. All right, Dusty's turn to recap what took place at the NPL tournament yesterday. And then we'll look at our broadcast schedule for today and into tomorrow.
Yes, Northern Plains League quarterfinals yesterday started out with the St. John's Tipton girls winning 47-26 over Chase as Lauren Deaver had 19 points, including 12 in the third quarter to lead the Lady Jays there. Thunder Ridge wins 60-18 over Lincoln in the semifinals. Jaden Bowden, a career high 17 to lead the Lady Longhorns. Sylvan Lucas girls then beat Lakeside 38-23 in the evening session as Sylvan Lucas moves on. Lexi Neal in double figures with 11 for the Lady Mustangs. And then Osborne winning over Southern Cloud 44-41. Ava stole a new career high 17 for the Lady Bulldogs there in that win. So all those teams that I mentioned that won those games will move on. Ava Stoll actually had 16, but the career high regardless for her, and all those teams again moving on to the semifinals, which are coming up today. We'll talk about that here momentarily. The other games, consolation games over at Sylvan Lucas High School on the girls' side, Tescott won 41-34 over Plainville, and Wilson beat Rock Hills 41-21. Boys quarterfinals, Osborne winning 78-45 over Thunder Ridge behind 22 points from Steele Walters. The Lakeside boys winning 55-45 over Wilson. Southern Cloud winning over Sylvan Lucas 28-25, a very low-scoring game, but Blake Gum hit a buzzer-beating three to win it for Southern Cloud to advance to the semis, and St. John's Tipton wins over Rock Hills 59-43. As Brandon Bates had 17 for St. John's Tipton, Derek Gillett had 24 for Rock Hills. The Blue Jays pick up the victory in that one. Also, Pike Valley boys, consolation games at Sylvan Lucas, winning 58-20 over Tescott. And the Chase boys beat Natoma 38-35. So let's look at the games from yesterday. As we'd mentioned, we do have a lot of coverage coming up today, and I'll give you the Northern Plains League tournament schedule here for today as we'll get things started with the semifinals. Pregame this morning at about 11:45, tip off at noon on Katy Country 94, St. John's Tipton against Thunder Ridge. And that'll be the first semifinal on the girls' side. Then approximately 1:30, the boys' semifinals, Osborne taking on Lakeside. Approximately 3 o'clock, the other girls' semi has Sylvan Lucas against Osborne. And then in our last game of the afternoon and into the evening, Southern Cloud against St. John's Tipton, approximately 4:30. All those games being played at Lincoln High School today in the semifinals on the championship side of the bracket. Complete brackets are updated online at ncksports.com. A quick look at the consolation matchups today and the consolation semis. Grade school at noon, Chase against Lincoln Girls, and then the girls' consolation semi at 3, approximately Lakeside against Southern Cloud. On the boys' side, Thunder Ridge against Wilson, approximately 1:30, and Sylvan Lucas against Rock Hills around 4:30 this afternoon. They're in the consolation bracket of the NPL tournament, and they'll all battle out through 5th and 7th place on those parts of the bracket. So that's a look at what's going on today at the Northern Plains League tournament.
All right, I want to get this in. I meant to do this yesterday. It's been a crazy, nutty week, as Dusty and I can attest to. Terry Mitchell's birthday was yesterday. So, Terry, happy birthday. Happy belated birthday wishes. And happy birthday to Terry. His birthday was yesterday. We hope you had a great day. And you can celebrate again today if you'd like. We give our permission for him to do that. Thanks to all the kind people that texted me and emailed me and called me since the very beginning of the Waterside Wake-Up Show today. As they could tell, well, I made it pretty clear that I was pretty frustrated with a particular email that I received on top of everything else that's going on right now. And that email couldn't come at a worse time
exactly.
with the mindset that I have to deal with. So if you think all we do is show up and do the game and then everything's hunky-dory and as soon as we sign off, you're absolutely dead wrong. There's a lot more to handle besides just doing ball games at this radio station. There's many other things that we need to deal with. Some things that we don't want to, but sometimes we have to. So part of life, right?
It is.
The unexpected. And then Mother Nature throws a big curveball into things as well. And, you know, it's like 1 week out of the year, we always joke, Mother Nature, can you just cooperate? And then, of course, we've got...
Like 3 years in a row now that this week's been messed up.
Well, Veterans Day Parade. Could it just be nice one day for the Veterans Day Parade? No, not going to happen. I remember when my wife was pregnant with our second child, it was the first year we were going to do 8-man all-star games, and I told my wife she can have the baby any day of the year except for that day, and guess when he came?
That day.
And
I don't have to guess.
You know.
It's a pretty early phone call for me.
And they called Dusty at like 4 in the morning, whatever it was. It was a very stressful day for all of us, and Dusty and me and my family, and life throws you curveballs. You got to deal with the adversity. Sometimes things, it's all about timing, but it is just weird. It's like of all the days of the year, he came in the world was the one day. It's like, man, you know, really, that's not the day.
Yeah.
And then
the first year we were able to cover
first
those
year
games
do it,
too.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So then I didn't even get to call the games because I was hightailing with my dad to Children's Mercy in Kansas City as my kid was airlifted to Kansas City to, you know, hopefully save his life, which that all worked out. Thank God. And then, of course, you've got this week. If any week, Mother Nature, cooperate this week. It's just the way it goes sometimes, I guess. So here's our schedule. You went over the schedule for today?
Yes.
Okay, for the NPL tournament. There is no Beloit games today, no Sterling Invitational today. So tomorrow we'll have a girls' consolation game from Sterling at the high school. The Beloit girls will play Sunrise Christian. So the 2 and the 3 seeds lost yesterday in the Sterling Invitational. So they will play each other. Sunrise Christian, interesting. They play a lot of home schools. I don't really know how great they are. They're 11-3. They lost to Hutch Trinity yesterday. Hutch Trinity had one win when they were seeded. So, yeah, I don't know. I didn't stay to watch a lot of that game. Beloit girls against Sunrise Christian. See if Beloit can bounce back because they did play very well at times yesterday against Hugoton. And then the boys semifinal tomorrow at 5:15. Approximately, Beloit boys, the 1 seed, will take on the 4 seed, Smoky Valley. Both those games, the Beloit girls, Beloit boys, tomorrow from the Sterling Invitational will be on Z96.3 Lake and online, katiekincher94.com, and get the free Z96.3 Lake app on your smartphone. The NPL tournament tomorrow, unless something changes, here are the plans. We will have the girls' third-place game at 3 o'clock, then the boys' third-place game at 4:30. The girls' championship at 6 and the boys' championship at 7:30. Of course, all those games could start a little bit earlier than that. And you can hear all of those games for the NPL tournament semifinals today, as Dusty mentioned, and then the third place and championship games tomorrow. All of the NPL tournament games today and tomorrow will be heard on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. Now, keep in mind, another thing for us to worry about here at the radio station with Mother Nature. If we get a big ice storm, we could be off the air. Because if everything freezes up, we could be off the air. So we can do everything possibly, humanly possible, but we're not climbing a tower to chip off ice 500 feet above the ground. First of all, I don't think we could climb it if it's all ice. So keep that in mind. So if we go off the air next couple of days, it would be because of more than likely ice. And that happens to a lot of radio stations when you have a significant ice storm, which they're kind of projecting. But, you know, you look at every different forecast, they're all a little bit different. So I don't know if we're going to get the ice that they say. And then there's chance for snow on top of that on Friday after some ice. And that's scary. Chance for some freezing drizzle and a little bit of freezing rain today. We're in a weather advisory, I guess I should say, from noon today till 6 tomorrow morning. So that, you know, obviously concerns me with people going to NPL tournament. I don't think you have any problems getting down there and everything, but coming back later tonight. And that's why they moved the games up today, which was a good move by the NPL tournament. And then I get to go to Manhattan, and I'm looking forward to that, K-State Texas women's game. But I might have to go really early, as early as I can, make sure I get there, because I don't know when this stuff's going to come in. And then I might not be here tomorrow morning if I'm stranded and don't want to take a chance driving from Manhattan at 10 o'clock at night on icy roads. So lots of things we have going on here, no question about it. We'll have coverage of the Bullet Wrestling Invitational coming up on Friday and Saturday, as long as that continues as scheduled.
Yeah.
So we look forward to that. Anything that you know yet about that, other than there's a lot of wrestlers, and of course it's always a great competition.
Yeah, I haven't had time to really dive into the teams and the wrestlers that
Did
are
you
competing.
Say 250 wrestlers?
200, that's what Andy told me, that there's 250 wrestlers that come in. It's a huge tournament. I know the coaches love it because it gives them kind of – it's almost like a state atmosphere.
Yeah, it really is.
Of the competition and how they run things on the two-day side of things. And so they really like the tournament. And so we're looking forward to that. Hopefully we can get that in on Friday and Saturday.
Absolutely. There's one more thing I was going to – oh, yes. There will be no basketball locker room chants today or tomorrow, not because we're lazy. It's because it would make no sense because we have the NPL tournament games going on today. So if Dusty interviews his coaches this morning – and then they air tonight, it'll be outdated because some of these teams will have played this afternoon.
Yeah.
So it'll be outdated. And then on top of that, Dusty will be there. It takes a lot of time, trust me, to interview all the – we don't interview just one school, one coach, or all of this stuff. We interview, was it 18, 20?
I have 18 basketball coaches on Wednesday.
18 basketball coaches. Dusty
22
has to
total with the wrestling, too.
So Dusty has to get a hold of 18 girls and boys basketball coaches on Wednesday and then record them. And then get it all put together so it's ready to air at 5 o'clock. Obviously, he doesn't have time to do that today. And on top of that, he wouldn't get a hold of any of these coaches anyway because they'll be at the NPL tournament.
I told one of the coaches, I was like, unless they clone both of us, we're not going to do locker room chats this week.
You couldn't get it. Even if you tried to do it, you wouldn't be able to do it because the coaches would be obviously at the games on the sideline barking out signals to their players. So it just doesn't happen. So So we got it all covered with the play-by-play, but no basketball locker room chats today or tomorrow, and I think everybody can understand why from that situation. All right. Anything else from a local sports angle that we should cover? We get it all done there?
I think we got it.
Okay. All that information, the latest brackets, the Sterling Invitational, NPL Tournament, Mid-Continent League Tournament, everything else, it's all there, ncksports.com. Folks, if you don't know about this website and you're a sports fan, then you have been sleeping under a rock. It's ncksports.com, or you don't listen to us.
Yeah.
ncksports.com. It's got standings. It's got schedules. It's got the tournament brackets, athletes of the week, all league archives. I could go on and on. Tons of stuff there for you covering the NPL, the Smith Center, Concordia, and also the North Central Activity Association. So you need it. You can find it. It's there. All you got to do is type it, ncksports.com. And a complete look at our broadcast schedule as well. All right, Big 12 basketball last night. TCU blew out West Virginia 98-67. Wow. Big win for TCU. Tonight, Big 12 basketball, K-State at Oklahoma at 6 o'clock. That's the only men's game on the docket. And then I mentioned women's games tonight. Baylor's at KU and Texas at K-State, which I get to call that one on the Wildcat Sports Network coming up later tonight. I'm looking forward to that because Texas women are ranked 11th in the country. They're 14-2. They won 7 in a row against K-State. At K-State, coming off a tough loss against KU, first time they lost to KU since 2014. They had won 10 in a row against Kansas. But K-State every year seems to knock off one pretty significant team at home.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping it's I'm hoping it's tonight against Texas. I really want an exciting game. It comes down to the wire, and K-State pulls one out, and that would be their first win over a top 25 opponent tonight for the K-State women. They're 0-5. Against top 25 teams so far this year, and that would be huge for Kansas State and bounce back from a loss that maybe some people didn't expect against Kansas over the weekend. And they need it. They're 1-3 in the Big 12. They're 10-6 overall. And Texas is undefeated and atop of the Big 12, just ahead of Baylor. And everybody talks about Baylor's ranked second in the country, but Texas technically is a half game ahead of Baylor in the Big 12 standings. And they've got, I'm going through there, they got three McDonald All-American players. And I mean, you know, they everything's bigger in Texas, and so are the recruiting rankings too.
Yeah, Baylor and Texas have pretty much been ruling that in women's basketball the last few years with recruiting, and obviously it's showing in their record too.
Oklahoma from time to time will be really good, but it makes it tough on K-State and KU. The men tonight, K-State at Oklahoma. We talked with Riley Gates of Go Powercat yesterday about this one. He thinks K-State's going to lose to Oklahoma, but then again, I think a lot of people thought K-State would lose a name. So, yeah, I don't know what to think of this basketball team. I mean, defensively, they're in every game, so they've always got a chance. Their defense does travel. We've seen that. Their offense is very anemic many occasions, although they came up big in the second half against West Virginia. Barry Brown's made a couple of big plays at the end of games recently. I don't know which way to look at this one. I mean, nothing would surprise you now. I mean, they could go down Oklahoma and lose by 20. That wouldn't surprise us. They go to Oklahoma and win by 7. We wouldn't be surprised. If they pull one out with a buzzer beater or they lose on a buzzer beater, I don't think we'd be surprised. To me, it's a fairly even matchup. I know Oklahoma's having a better year, it seems, but yet you look at the records, both are 2-2 in the Big 12, and Oklahoma's 13-3, K-State's 12-4. So, you know, anything can go, and it seems like K-State usually plays fairly well down in Oklahoma.
Except for 2 years ago. Definitely true. They usually do play well down there, and I can't get a gauge on this team, especially since the start of Big 12 play. How they get blown out by Texas the way they did. But, you know, they've got guys back that were out there. Mm-hmm. And maybe just having them on the floor changes how the team thinks. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's the only thing I can come up with. Mm-hmm. But having Dean Wade and Kamau Stokes out there just changes the mindset that you go into the game with. That's the only thing I can think of, because they look dead to rights after the first two games of the conference.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
What are they going to do? Like,
they're going to start 2.5 games in the conference.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we're all thinking there might start 0-5 here.
Absolutely. They're very close to being 0-4, no question. Yeah. So I'll be interested to see which K-State team shows up tonight in Norman against the Sooners. KU back in action coming up on Saturday. I forgot who they're playing Saturday. I haven't even looked that far ahead. It's been a crazy week.
I should know who they're playing
on Saturday, and I cannot.
They're at Morgantown.
Oh, they're at West Virginia. Yeah. Okay, and West Virginia just lost by 31. So, for once, you think KU's going to win in Morgantown. But you know what? This will be the year they won't. I mean, they've lost four straight. Not four straight. They won. They pulled one out last year, didn't they? They should have lost. Yeah. They were on the cusp of losing that game, and they should have lost that game, but they found a way. Devontae Graham kind of willed them to victory. All right, speaking of Big 12, former K-State quarterback Alex Delton, he's a grad transfer. He's transferring to TCU.
Yeah.
Isn't that splendid? That's the one problem with graduate transfers is that, you know, they can go to any school. So they can go – Delton could have gone to Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine that?
In conference, you can go anywhere you want. You play.
Yeah, which I'm okay with that.
Well, yeah, I think that by getting a degree, if you're about student-athlete
– Yes, you've earned that.
I completely think you should be able to go anywhere you want, because you've earned your degree. You're not committed to anybody anymore because you're done there.
Yeah.
You're done with your college, and if you have an eligibility left and want to keep going with a doctorate program or more education after that, then more power to you.
He could be the starting quarterback for TCU.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would think he would be, because
I don't think he would have changed his mind since he already said he was going to UTEP. Yeah. If he didn't think there was an opportunity for him to start and play at TCU.
Oh, absolutely. I would agree with you. And the other thing, too, is I think it was the Robinson kid. He's transferring. He's got to sit out a year, but he's transferring to Missouri. So Missouri's got Kelly Bryant, who transferred from Clemson. And so they got Kelly Bryant next year for 1 year. And then the very next year they have that Robinson kid, who was a very talented quarterback for TCU, and then got banged up, and then he got had issues off the field, I think, if I remember correctly. Anyway, so Missouri's set for the next 2 years with two very talented transfer quarterbacks.
Yep.
And now Delton's going to go to TCU, so that'll be interesting when TCU and K-State play. Although it will be Delton versus not Bill Snyder. It'll be against a coach that he didn't play for. The Denver Broncos have found their defensive coordinator. Of course, they hired a new head coach in Vic Fangio, the Bears' defensive coordinator. Well, Fangio is picking the Bears organization apart. He has grabbed Bears secondary coach Ed Donatell to become the Broncos' new defensive coordinator. And by the way, Gary Kubiak was going to be the offensive coordinator, and that all fell through. And so now he's talking.
Difference of opinion I read the other day.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, interesting. Everybody was praising those moves by the Broncos, and then that kind of fell apart. Interesting. The Patriots-Chiefs game coming up on Sunday night, which you can hear with pregame at 4 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake. It will not be the Chiefs broadcast. It may be Chiefs pregame, but it will not be the Chiefs network broadcast once the game starts, because by NFL rules, we're not allowed to do that. Don't ask me why. It makes no sense. But we aren't in charge. So we'll get the game on, hopefully, one way or the other. It'll be the national broadcast, which those guys do a great job, too. It's just that it won't be your Homer-type broadcast. And you won't hear Mitch screaming, touchdown Kansas City. You just won't have that feel, which is unfortunate because you've heard it all year long, and now it's taken away by the National Football League. So if you want to complain, don't call me, don't email me, contact the National Football League. I do not have their number on speed dial. You can figure that out. So anyway, the NFL has officially announced the officiating crew for the AFC Championship game Sunday night at 5:40 at Arrowhead. And it appears the Patriot fans aren't too happy with the league's choice. Why? NFL has tabbed Cleet Blakeman to serve as referee, and although that name might not sound completely familiar to everyone, it's definitely a familiar name to Patriot fans, and that's because Blakeman played a key role in Deflategate. Back in January 2015, Blakeman was working the AFC title game between the Colts and the Patriots as an alternate official, which usually isn't a very exciting job. However, after accusations started to fly that the Patriots were letting air out of their footballs, Blakeman's job suddenly became very important. He was one of the officials in charge of measuring the air pressure in each football. As noted in the Wells report, Blakeman's job at halftime was to measure the air of 11 Patriot footballs and 4 Colts footballs. Although every Colts ball passed the air pressure test, Blakeman noted that all 11 Patriot footballs were below the 12.5 PSI threshold. The problem created by Blakeman is that he used a different pressure gauge than the other official who was also taking measurements. The issue here is that Blakeman's gauge came up with a lower number on every reading, which means it's theoretically possible that there might have been something wrong with his gauge. Although all of this happened 4 years ago, Patriot fans still haven't forgotten, and if you need proof, there's all kinds of tweets out there for Patriot fans letting you know how they feel about the fact that Cleet Blakeman's going to be the referee for the AFC Championship game. And here's one. Cleet Blakeman is going to be the head official of the Patriots-Chiefs game, so take all your money and bet it on the Chiefs. Sad day for Patriot fans. Another person. So Cleet Blakeman is officiating the AFC title game between the Chiefs and the Patriots. He was a major player in the Deflategate charade, an anti-Patriots conspirator. The game has already begun, and the Chiefs are winning. Pats are going to be playing 11 on 18 out there. Who in God's name is the commissioner allowing Cleet Blakeman to referee the Patriots-Chiefs game? This is criminal. This is a no-win situation for the Patriots and the league. Stop this now. The good news for Patriots fans is that Blakeman was actually the ref during last season's AFC Championship game, and the Patriots won that game 24-20. I'm sure those Patriot fans aren't quite aware of that little nugget.
It can't be if that's the way the ones that are tweeting anyway, if that's the way that they're talking.
Yeah.
It's just a good way to build in your excuses for when you get beat at Arrowhead on Sundays.
Exactly. They're already building their excuses when their dynasty ends on Sunday at the hands of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs at Arrowhead. And the Chiefs will go to the Super Bowl for the first time since January of 1970. But if you want to know the stats in regards to Cleet Blakeman when he's refereed Patriot games and Chiefs games, here's a look at how the Patriots and Chiefs have done when Blakeman has served as a ref in one of their games. The Patriots are 3-5 all time when Blakeman's been the referee, including 0-1 this year. But as we said, they won the AFC title game with him as the referee last year. And the Chiefs are 6-2 with Cleet Blakeman as the referee, 1-1 this year. So there you got it. By the way, he is very qualified. Blakeman is officiating his second AFC Championship game in a row. He was also the official for Super Bowl 50. And so he is going to be the referee. So, and what's also interesting is the officiating crew for the NFC Championship game, the Rams aren't happy. Why? Because the Rams have a horrible record with Bill Vinovich is going to be the lead referee in the Rams-Saints NFC Championship game. And the Rams' record with him as referee, dating back so many years, 0-8.
Not good.
They're 0-8 with Bill Vinovich as their referee, whereas the Saints are 5-3. And this year, the Rams have Vinovich twice, and they have lost both those games, and the Rams only lost 3 games all year long.
Yeah.
So, I guess if you're a bettor, and you believe this is all true, this is the easiest money you'll ever make. Chiefs, Saints, Super Bowl. Conspiracy. It's exactly what I want. Chiefs Saints. I'm happy with this. I hope it does play out that way. Something tells me now that this has been revealed to the public that one of these two teams won't win. just almost on. If you know, listen, there are people that believe this sports is rigged. There are people that believe it, and this helps add to their argument. And then you can say this all got leaked out. Now it's out there, and now the NFL will have pressure to make sure it isn't the Saints and the Chiefs.
Exactly.
Which is not good for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So
who are you picking, the Rams or the Patriots to win?
I mean, how many times have the Patriots gotten all kinds of calls in games?
Oh,
we saw it even against the Chiefs the first time, and that was in Foxborough. And
they're the
team that's cheated and been penalized and lost draft picks before, but yet it seems like they do benefit from more calls than the opposition, which is the NFL feeling guilty. Does that rig to where they say, hey, a close call, it goes the Patriots' way? I'm going to say probably not. Or in this case, are they ready for – are they thinking – is the NFL thinking, listen, we'll have much better ratings – if it's the Rams and Chiefs, L.A. market, and you got Patrick Mahomes, and people are tired of Brady in New England, but yet that's a big market in Boston. So, you know, I guarantee you the suits in the NFL offices talk about who would be the best TV ratings bonanza for them.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. Which matchup do you think would be the best for the NFL in regards to ratings? I think it'd be the Patriots and the Rams because the bigger media market is Boston than Kansas City.
The Rams are playing in L.A. is for the ratings.
Right.
It's not for fan attendance and stuff. So
But the Chiefs ratings were off the chart. But the best ratings, Kansas City, I think sports history, 56% or something.
I mean, they want the Rams rating-wise.
I would think so. But what about Patriots-Chiefs? Who would they want?
Yeah.
But they want that because Mahomes is going to be the face of the league for years to come. It might be good for them to, boom, he goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and he's getting big enough already that I don't think – it might be a wash, honestly.
Yeah.
But New England's obviously a bigger market that they've got in their whole area there.
But Patriots have been there, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah, they've been there a lot, and people are getting old and tired of it, and they might not watch. No, they're going to watch.
They'll watch. They'll absolutely watch. There'll be a new team representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. Hopefully, it'll be a new team representing the AFC. Chiefs-Patriots, Sunday night, 4 o'clock. The NFC Championship game is going to be earlier in the day. I think that one starts around 2, and that's the Rams and the Saints. So it's interesting. Rams-Saints is indoors. That's going to be the early game. The game outdoors is going to be later in the day, so it's even colder. But that was predetermined, by the way.
Yeah. Can't know much about that if you got it ready to go.
Yeah, but what's the difference?
Because they don't know that the game's going to be in Kansas City.
Right, yeah. And what's the difference? But I don't know why they can't wait until after the games and then then set the time. But it's all predetermined with TV and everything else. And
CBS had the early game last year. They got to have the late game this year.
I guess. So, you know, but what's the difference between, you know, 2 o'clock kickoff and 5:40, 14 degrees or 10 degrees? It's going to be cold no matter which way you look at it.
It doesn't really matter. I don't think it matters to the players at all.
No, I don't think so either. You know, a lot of people are like, man, I would hate to play in that weather. You know what? It wouldn't be ideal to play in that cold of weather, but the players are better off than the fans are.
Oh, yeah.
Because the players got that adrenaline. They got the big heaters on the sideline when they're not playing. I mean, they're gonna get after it, and the adrenaline will keep them warm to an extent. I mean, they're still
heated
cold.
Field. You heated don't have field. Heated stands that you're standing on and stuff
and
like that.
And they're moving around. You're not moving around. You're just sitting there shivering to death. Yeah, it's and I've said this for a long time. When you go to a high school football game and it's cold outside, it's worse for the fans and the players.
Oh yeah,
and for the media, I'll say, because you're in one spot. You don't get to move around much. As a media person, it's probably worse for us if we're outside, obviously. When it's cold, then sometimes the fans, because the fans can go around and walk around the track. They can do whatever. They can run to their car and heat up. We can't. Once we're on the air, we can't just jump up and leave for 15 minutes and warm ourselves up. Now, we try to bring space heaters. I know I gave you a couple of mine to use at Osborne one night. And that does something for you. It helps, although it's not as good as you'd like, but it is better than nothing. But the players themselves, once they play. Now, for the players that don't get a play, they're on the sideline, that don't get to play, that are just there in case they need somebody or they're suited up just in case. Now, that's pretty cold for them because they're not really moving around either. So, cold, I'm telling you, I disagree with Riley. I'm sorry. I mean, there's no wrong or right answer. He says he absolutely hates the heat. Yeah. I absolutely hate the cold, and that's just the way my brother-in-law hates the cold too, or hates the heat too. If I had to choose, I'll take 110 over 10. Any day of the week, I'll take 110 over 10. That's just me. Other people say they'd take 10 over 110. Well, whatever.
I can't pick, to be honest with you.
I don't like either. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't like either. But if I have to pick, if you told me, Wade, you have to choose 110 degrees for 24 hours or 10 degrees, and I got to be outside, but I have access to fluids, and I can put layers on or I can take layers off, I will go with 110, make sure I'm hydrated, I'll be fine. cold, my body will feel like it's breaking. My bones will be sound like they're creaking before I even get outside. And I will absolutely be stressed out because my body will be shivering. I won't be shivering when 110 degrees temperature.
No, you won't.
Now, I hope I don't have convulsions from heat stroke, but I could also have frostbite. So there's problems each way. But I just think it'd be a little easier to deal with 110-degree heat, and as long as you drink plenty of fluids, than it is to by the way, it's harder to go to the bathroom with 15 layers of clothing on, too. Another reason why you should
not
be more...
Not hard to go at all when you don't have anything there on. You go. Too hot.
When you're just wearing your boxers out in the front yard like I do every summer, all you got to do is find a bush. 9:40 is our time. This sounds weird, but I must say, there are some kids in my neighborhood that may have done that. 28 degrees. Won't name names.
I did that my whole life growing up, living on the farm.
Well, I did in the farm, but nobody was around. Exactly. But when you're in a neighborhood in town, that's probably not so great. But kids do the wildest and funniest things. 9:41 is our time, or gross things. 28 degrees on this Wednesday. Hope you enjoy all the basketball. We hope you appreciate the coverage. We've got 16 games in NPL tournament this week. We have 6 games from the Sterling Invitational. That's 22, right?
Yes.
If my math's correct. Coverage of the Bullet Wrestling Invitational. We're covering not one town, but the whole North Central Kansas area. We keep you updated with what's happening in other tournaments as well at ncksports.com. So we hope you appreciate it because we definitely put in the work, and it's not something that we take lightly. We take it seriously. We try to put together the best broadcast that we can. We don't mail it in and just show up. I know some broadcasters do that and don't do the prep work. I can assure you, Dusty and I do plenty of prep work for all of these games so that you get the best broadcast possible. So we appreciate you listening. We hope you appreciate what we're able to provide. And we also hope you appreciate all the sponsors that make it possible as well so that we can broadcast the games. And we appreciate all of the coaches and administrators and tournament officials for helping us in making sure we get the games on the air.